unmuted.
What that was. Good morning and welcome to the Sussex County Council meeting of May 9th, 2023. First thing is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President, and good morning, members of council. As you can see in front of you, we do have some new technology, so your patience and understanding as we go through some of the troubleshooting is appreciated. As to the agenda, I do have one recommended change under Todd Lawson, County Administrator, number two, recognition of the SCEMS team. We are not able to get the entire SCEMS team here today, so we're going to reschedule that for a future agenda. Other than that, I have no further changes, Mr. President.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
We have motion carried. We have the minutes of April 22nd and May 2nd. Any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We do have one, a certificate of appreciation presented to Sussex County Council in recognition of being an inspiration level sponsor for the Vikings Robotics 2022-23.
Thank you. Any correspondence from Council? Correspondence from Council. Mr. Gotti, by sign up, here we go. Now is the time for public comment where the public can come to council and speak. You have 3 minutes. There's a timer up here. When a red light comes on, you're supposed to stop. And anything the council has any control of, we want to hear about it. William Kinnick, come on down.
That one? My name is William Kinnick. I represent Delaware State Manufactured Housing. I live in Seaford, Delaware. I'm here this morning to make this council aware that we have one community that has not had water for 7 weeks and going on eight. That means they haven't been able to take a shower. They haven't been able to cook with their water. And the county hasn't even stepped up to even recognize that issue. We have issues at the state, we know that. We're dealing with the governor's office, but we have people that are being treated worse than third world countries. And I believe that it's time for the county to step up to do something besides nothing, okay? I'm kind of angry, and me and Mr. Vincent know each other quite well, and I respect his wishes, but I want this council to know that you have not done your job to protect your residents in this Sussex County environment. Okay, it's important. You continue to set homes on in communities that don't have drinking water. I understand you're waiting for the state to tell you something, but again, you guys need to understand these people need some help, and nobody's coming to the rescue. Currently, the governor says, the first ever heard of it. Well, that was 6 weeks ago. We called the office, didn't get no response. Okay? The health department hasn't responded. The Office of Drinking Water says you're going to have your results back around the 26th. There's no immediate action, but we still have people that have no drinking water except for what we provide them in bottled water. Okay? And some families only get a case of water when they have five or six people living there. So it's imperative that you all step up to the plate and try to help us. We're helping and doing the best we can. Yes, sir.
What's the name of the community?
It's Briarwood Manor. It's behind Johnny Donato's house over in Laurel.
Is there anything the county can do to help with that situation?
We'll let him get done first and we'll make comments.
Okay. So I yield my time back to you, Mr. President, and to the board. I'm standing here biting my tongue, and I respect your wishes, sir. And I'm done. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You can turn your mic off there, that thing again, yeah. Thank you for your comments. We appreciate your concern. I will say that, yes, it is a state problem with drinking water. We have been in touch with people in that park. Mr. Costello has numerous times to try to help the state move along with what they can do. My understanding is that they are getting bottled water provided to them all the time, and that they can use the water they have out of the well for anything they're not drinking. They can take showers, they can do whatever, but they can't drink it. So that's what we're being told by the state. If you've got other information, you need to tell us that for sure, Mr. Costello. But we are aware of it. We've certainly been in contact with state agencies who control that. We are concerned about it. And if there's something we can do, we will try to do it. But we certainly have no control of that. We can't tell somebody I want to go drill a well or do whatever. So, but thank you for your concerns and bringing it forward. Appreciate it. Steve Cooper. Oh, you're good. No, you're fine. You can just sit right back down. That's all right. No, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you being here. Patricia Galu? Glue. Oh, I was close. Good morning.
Thanks. I live in Ocean View. I'm a member of the St. Vincent de Paul Society and an active member of the Sussex Housing Group, which many of you know. I'm here about affordable housing. You have recently directed a considerable amount of money to address affordable housing. Some of the money is for rehabbing homes to keep families in their homes. I know a number of families that have benefited from that, and I know that your staff, led by Brandy Nauman, is doing an incredible job, and with that money, there will be many more homes that are going to be rehabbed where people can live for a long time. But our concern is this morning is affordable rental housing. There are signs everywhere to hire people, but year-round affordable rentals are rarely, if ever, available. First-time teachers, nurses, police, restaurant managers, full-time staff at grocery stores can't find affordable rentals that are year-round. There are few apartments in Lower and Eastern Sussex County. There are a few subsidized apartments, but the waiting list is years, not months. I know of two apartment complexes in Selbyville, and none of you would live in those apartments, and neither would I. And they're not subsidized housing. We need year-round affordable rental apartments or small homes. Not more townhouses and homes will cost $300,000 to $400,000 or more. See, people seem to forget that we all lived in apartments when we first started our work lives. New college students and recent tech grads are not in a position to buy a home. Most are dealing with college debt, and when you need 1 or 2 months down payment, as well as the first month's rent, it's almost impossible if you're paying over $1,200 to $1,500 a month for rent, and that doesn't include the cost of utilities. We know many families that have children that need a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment in this area. They can't find anything to rent that they can afford, and driving 40 minutes to their job is not an option. They'll lose their job because of childcare and other necessities at home. We know that chain restaurants are looking to purchase housing for their workers to rent, as Mr. Schaefer heard at a recent meeting in Lewis. We need a plan, and we need it now. I know a number of communities outside of Delaware. My brother was the Secretary of Commerce for the state of Wyoming for 10 years. I know also of Boca Raton, Florida, and Palm Beach, Florida, that ran into this same problem, resort communities that needed to have housing. So they started approving addressing accessory dwelling units. They allowed businesses to build apartments over their stores. They approved tiny houses. We have to look at these and many more solutions for Sussex County before we are out of options and, frankly, out of workers for our stores and for our healthcare community. We need your focused attention on this problem that is almost at a crisis level. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Marlene Mervine. I'm sure your esteemed colleague didn't. Operator, would you check online for public comment, please?
At this time, there's no one on the line.
Wow. Thank you. We'll now close public comments. Mr. Lawson.
All right, thank you, Mr. President. A couple of items to get to today, first being the recognition of our local Spelling Bee winners. I'm excited to announce that we are joined by Mr. Zion Miller and Mr. Declan Duran and their families to recognize both Zion and Declan, who competed in local qualifiers for the Scripps National Spelling Bee, taking home the championship prize. They now move on to compete in the 2023 Scripps National Spelling Bee this summer in Washington, D.C. Zion was the winner of the April 24th Seaford District Library for Seaford School Districts. He's an eighth grade student at the Seaford Middle School. And Declan was the winner of the April 1st Sussex County Library Regional Spelling Bee. Declan's a fifth grader at Love Creek Elementary School. Mr. President, at this time, I'd invite the entire county council to join in. We have a presentation and some gifts to give, and we'll invite the two students up to make a presentation.
Thank you. I would like to say in full transparency, I was invited to be a judge at both these spelling bees. It was very interesting. I would also be honest to tell you that they gave us the answers and how it was spelled so we didn't make a mistake, okay? But we have some very good students in this county that were very good. There were, I guess, about 20 students at both places, and we got down to one, and both of them were excellent spellers. But it was, I'm sure there'll be more of these next year and whatever following on out, but I would encourage you to attend one of these and see how the young people in this county are just amazing students. They really are just amazing students. So now if the two would come forward with your parents or whatever, and if the council would join me down front, we'll get a photo op or whatever. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Moving down, as I said, we will reschedule the SCIMS team to recognize our gold medal winners at a future council meeting. So next is our proclamation recognizing Community Action Month. Proclamation from the Sussex County Council proclaiming the month of May as Community Action Month, whereas Community Action has made essential contributions to individuals and families across the United States by creating economic opportunities and strengthening communities. And Community Action is a robust state and local force connecting people to life-changing services and creating pathways to prosperity in 99% of all American counties. First State Community Action Agency, which began in Sussex County, leads such grassroots efforts to improve the lives of those living throughout Delaware. And the Community Action builds and promotes economic stability as an essential aspect of enabling and enhancing stronger communities and stable homes. Community Action insists on community participation and involvement ensuring that all sectors of the community have a voice and will be heard. And Community Action is celebrating 59 years of innovation, impact, and providing proven results for Americans. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby proclaims the month of May 2023 as Community Action Month in Sussex County and recognizes the hard work and dedication of groups like First State Community Action Agency for their contribution to improving the quality of life for all citizens. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, Council President. Mr. Vincent, I think we are joined by representatives from First State Community Action. If you'd like to come down and have a proclamation presentation.
Good morning. Just want to say to the council, on behalf of the board of directors and the staff of First State Community Action Agency, I would like to thank you for all that you do to help us here in Sussex County, trying to better the lives of the people that we serve on a daily basis. And the council has been supportive. Thank you so much. 58 years here in this county, that's where we started 58 years ago. And our vision have not changed, and it will not change until we all see life for those who are less fortunate than all of us. And I always say we can do more together than any one of us will ever be alone. So we are working with your constituents, so I want you to support us as we continue to fight the fight that we are fighting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President, a note on the agenda, the next item is a presentation by the Sussex County Land Trust. We anticipate that presentation update will take probably 30 minutes, and I note that we have critical mass here of paramedics and 911 staff. I don't know if you would like to move down the agenda and grab a few items, and I see we have a 10:15 public hearing.
Well, those are going to hold them up.
Yes.
Let's move on to Mr. Murray.
Thank you. The first item on the agenda for us, Mr. President, is the First Watch Solutions Agreement Addendum. Director Thomas is here from the EOC, and Quality Assurance Coordinator Steve Deary is also here. They entered into an agreement with First Watch in 2005, 18 years ago. And shortly after that, they allowed us some access to that. So First Watch is a program that continuously monitors the activity that's going on at the 911 center, and then we can set up, or they can set up, triggers that will alert to certain things happening. We utilize this as a retrospective analysis of shoot times, response times, and a lot of the data that I give you as part of our budget and in our monthly report comes from the CAD through First Watch and data collection from there. We want to expand. I'm sure Director Thomas wants to expand some of that utilization on his side, as both of our agencies have grown over the years. Our department started working really closely with Steve about a year ago, and what was determined was it would be best for us to have our own program and to sort of launch in that respect instead of continuously using some of their resources. Very early on, we also realized, through them telling us, that the cheapest way to handle this is through an addendum to their already existing program. So that's why we're here today with them, asking for your support in approving this addendum. The bulk of the charge, or the bulk of the cost, is a new program for us. It's called First Pass through First Watch, and that will take over the quality improvement process, otherwise known as our peer chart review. Today, our paramedics arrive at work. They do their daily checks. They get their trucks ready. They're ready to run calls. And when they have time, they review the charts from the shift before. That's a very time-consuming thing, and depending on how busy the shift becomes, sometimes they get to it quickly, sometimes they may not get to it that shift, and it falls to the next shift. With FirstPass, this automates that process. It does a scrub of all of our key performance indicators that we set up. As an example, if someone has a chief complaint of chest pain, we can identify our key performance indicators as we want aspirin given within 5 minutes of patient contact. We want the first nitroglycerin given within 6 minutes. We want a 12-lead EKG done within 5 minutes. And then FirstPass will go in and it will look for all of those indicators. And as long as those indicators are there, it meets all of our performance indicators, then it will give it a green check and we can skip that chart. Anything that falls outside of those areas, we'll kind of get an X, and that will kick over to one of our paramedics or someone in administration to delve a little bit deeper into that particular chart. So this will allow us a much more thorough and much more timely quality improvement process, reduce the workload of our paramedics from a day-to-day basis, and allow them to continue to focus on that patient care first type mantra that we have. So I'm open for any questions that you have. Again, this is an addendum to an already existing agreement that is in place that Director Thomas signed back in 2005. The motion that I have will be for he and I to go ahead and sign the addendum and to allow us to do that. As a second part of this, we have to have a partnership with ImageTrend. ImageTrend is the patient care reporting system that's contracted through the state of Delaware that we do all of our patient charts in. We need to have a separate agreement with them that allows them access to that data in ImageTrend. So part one of the motion will be for Director Thomas and I to sign the addendum with First Watch, and part two will be for me to sign and engage and execute the agreement with ImageTrend. And we're both, all three, looking for questions.
How about read your motion?
Let me get there. Be it moved that Sussex County support Director Thomas and Director Murray, allowing them to execute both the proposed First Watch addendum and ImageTrend agreement, thus supporting First Watch expansion into EMS.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second. Mr. Riley, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I'll be the motion carried. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Thomas and Mr. Deary. You're still up.
The second item on our agenda is certainly the highlight of many years of work. And I'd like to have Kristen Frederick. She is the Director of Laboratories for the Blood Bank of Delmarva to come up. She's going to join me. And with me today, we have Sussex County EMS Medical Director, Dr. Paul Cowan. We have Deputy Director Rob Malk, Field Training Coordinator Jordan Dottoli. Jordan has spearheaded this program for us since 2020 and has really been our agency lead and essentially really leading across the state of Delaware to get whole blood to the pre-hospital environment. And I'll let Kristen introduce the staff that she has with her.
Good morning. I'm Kristen, Director of Laboratories for Blood Bank of Delmarva. We also have Margaret Hannon, Director of Quality and Regulatory Affairs. We have Jessica Campanelli, Manager of Hospital Services. Kate Blevins, Manager of Logistics, and Tony Prado, with the phone, Marketing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen. So we come before you today asking for your support in signing an agreement with the Blood Bank of Delmarva to allow us to bring whole blood to the pre-hospital environment. When someone is literally bleeding to death, obviously the most important thing that we can do is to stop that bleeding. But once that bleeding has been controlled, we have to replace the fluid. Today, all we can replace that with is saline, and we dump saline into the patient. And while that is better than nothing, it is far less efficient than replacing blood with blood. That is something that they have learned on the battlefields for decades. They've been utilizing it there, and some of the highest performing EMS systems across the country are currently doing that and have published a lot of research with very, very promising numbers. Our goal is to bring that to the residents and visitors here in Sussex County. In 2020, we started, and our initial goal was to partner with Beebe Hospital, and we had meetings with them for many months, only to find out from the blood bank that we can't partner with BB for that. We have to partner with the Blood Bank of Delmarva. It's just the way the laws are written and something we weren't aware of. And that's where Kristen and her team came in with the Blood Bank of Delmarva, and we've been working very closely with them for the last 2 years, finally getting to this point. We have a statewide protocol. We have a policy in place. We have everything ready to go. There's one last check mark we need from the state. We hope to get that on Thursday. And your support today will allow us to go ahead and move forward with that. With that being said, Kristen, you had a few words that you wanted to say.
Yes, thank you. We've been working very closely with Sussex EMS over the past couple years to implement pre-hospital whole blood safely and effectively. As Robbie has said, there's increasing evidence that supports the benefits of pre-hospital whole blood transfusion to replace that volume loss of for a patient with the fluid that more closely resembles exactly what they're losing or bleeding out. Will be a game changer. So not only to replace that volume loss out in the pre-hospital setting, but to increase the oxygen carrying capacity and promote clotting before they even get to a trauma center. And lastly, in order for this to be truly successful, we'll need the continued support of the community to continue to donate blood to support us in this life-saving initiative. Thank you.
Thank you. And Robbie, I think you told us one time, or told me somebody, that really what this does, it restarts the clock.
It does.
It restarts the clock.
You know, something that we have come to know in EMS and the fire service is that golden hour. So from the time of accident to the time that we can get someone to the hospital and potentially in surgery, there really is this kind of golden hour that, depending on what literature you read, may or may not exist. It may be 30 minutes in some people. It may be 45 minutes, depending on the severity of injuries. Recently at the statewide active shooter assailant, a national speaker that was there was talking about the impact that whole blood makes in trauma resuscitation and trauma care. And he said, to date, the only thing that allows you to reset the clock that's out there is whole blood. And getting whole blood into those patients resets that clock. One of the challenges, as I have said in many budget meetings with you, is geography in Sussex County. You know, we are not necessarily close to anything, and we're certainly far away from our level one trauma center at Christiana up in Newcastle County. This program will allow us, it will buy us that time to either get patients locally to the hospitals or potentially, and what we're hoping, is allow us to get more patients where they ultimately need to go, and that's the level one trauma center, be it Christiana or potentially AI DuPont if it's a pediatric patient. And I'm open for questions, sir.
You have a motion available. Please read your motion.
I do.
No brainer.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve the health care provider agreement between the Blood Bank of Delmarva and Sussex County, allowing Sussex County EMS to deliver whole blood to the patients in the field.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? Dr. Cowan, do you want to say something before we vote here, or do you just walk up to support?
Afterwards.
Okay. We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Dr. Cowan, please step over.
Thank you. I just want to commend the council. There's nothing in medicine that's more highly regulated than blood. Am I correct?
Right.
In everything I do, the blood is the simple, most complicated thing that we do. This was incredibly hard and heavy lifting on the EMS command staff. We started 2 years ago. They met roadblock after roadblock, and they just pivoted. And it's really impressive. They're your people. You should be very impressed with this. There's one agency within 2 or 3 hours from here that's currently doing this. This will be cutting edge in 5 years, but we're on the front edge of this. This money is probably, as I reflect, probably the most impactful money to the citizens of the county since we first bought monitors back in 1990. It's that big of a deal. So I very much appreciate your support, but you should be very proud of your people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Robbie. Let's hold on here a minute. Let's move back to our public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now it's time and place for a public hearing on the Forest Landing annexation of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, Ellendale area. Mr. Ashman will give us a brief synopsis of what is proposed. Subsequent to that, there will be an opportunity for any member of the public to comment, and subsequent to that, it'd be up to the council to act. Mr. Ashman?
Morning. Well, you just turn it off and turn it back on now. If you could, there you go.
We're on now. All right, good morning. This is for the Forest Landing expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, the Ellendale area. Council granted permission to prepare and post notices for the public hearing on March 28th of 2023. And the engineering department had received a request from Davis Bowen and Friedel Incorporated on behalf of their clients, OA Forest Landing LLC, owners and developers of parcels 230-19-112 and 230-20-12 along North Old State Road. The parcels have been annexed into the town of Ellendale, and Sussex County provides a sanitary sewer service for the town. In order to do so, we need to expand our district. The parcels are located in the Tier 2 area for sewer service and will be responsible for system connection charges of $6,600 per EDU based on current rates. And the property was posted on April 18th, 2023 and on the county website. To date, we have received no correspondence in support or opposition to this annexation.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none. Okay, is there any member of the public here today that would like to opine on this matter? If so, come forward. Is there any member of the public that would like to comment on this? Seeing none, operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely who would like to opine on this matter?
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
Close public hearing. It's okay with council. Close public record. You have a motion.
We have a resolution.
A resolution, sorry.
A resolution to extend the boundary of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District Ellendale area to include two parcels on the east side of North Old State Road located in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, Delaware, and recorded in the Office of Recorder and Deeds in and for Sussex County, Delaware.
Pleasure, Council. So moved. Motion, Mrs. Green, second. Mr. Hudson, second. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I would guess motion carried.
Sorry. Okay, this is a request for permission to post notices for a sewer expansion in the West Rehoboth area. Engineering department has received a request from Davis Bowen and Friedel Incorporated on behalf of their clients, J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company, owners and developers of parcel 334-12-123.01 off of Old Landing Road. This project is a by right subdivision, and the project would be responsible for system connection charges of $6,600 per EDU based on current rates. We would like to request permission to prepare and post notices for a public hearing on this annexation area at this time.
You have a motion?
I do.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Warrington Farm expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include parcel 334-12.00-123.01 as presented on May 9th, 2023.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
All right, we have motion carried. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Mr. Lawson, we're back to you for the land trust. You said, what, 10 minutes?
Thank you, Mr. President and members. That was a A good pivot. Now we have as much time as you would like to hear from the Land Trust. We are joined by members of the Land Trust I see in the audience today, and Mr. Chur is going to come forward and lead the presentation. We're very excited to provide County Council with an update on all the activities that the Land Trust has been involved in the last several months, and also to announce today the acquisition by Sussex County of over 300 acres that we plan to preserve and conserve in perpetuity and partner with members of the Land Trust as well as the Nanticoke Conservancy to manage those properties, which we will provide more details in the presentation. So with that, hand it over to Mr. Chura.
Very good.
Thank you, and thanks for being here.
You clean up well, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Mr. President, council members, staff, good morning. We really do appreciate the opportunity to be before you again. Really on behalf of that, thank you is on behalf of myself and our entire board. And as Todd mentioned, we have with us, there they are. They moved. Our board chair, Heidi Gilmore. Russ McCabe is here, and also recognize that Councilman Riley and Councilman Schaefer are also on our board. So we're pleased to be here. Connor Nally is going to help me walk through this presentation. We'll go ahead and get started, and I think you all have copies of that to take a look at. We want to cover three topics. We want to cover our recent fundraising. One of the things we talk to you all about on an ongoing basis is what is the trust doing in terms of its part in raising money for land acquisition. We wanted to go through that with you. Wanted to update you on our park and preserve development, and then to speak on land acquisitions, which we're very excited to be a part of. Since we last met, it's been a few years now, we've been busy raising funding from across a broad range of sources. Total funding for the Land Trust is almost at $4 million over the last few years. Individual donations are at 1.347, as you see. Business donations and then nonprofit sector funding from a multitude of sources, and then public funding. These numbers in large part represent investments into land, some of which were previously settled with Nanticoke Crossing. There's another substantial amount of money that's down as a deposit on a project that we're working on, but that's available for acquisition, it's available for operations, it's available for development. Want to go through with you four of our properties, two on the east side of the county, Hudson Park and Hopkins Preserve, and then on the west side of the county, Nanticoke Crossing Park and Nickford Park. So we'll start with Hudson Park, and as you see in the picture there, you see Route 9 to your left. Hudson Park is to the right with our logo on it. It's a little over 30-acre parcel that is halfway between Georgetown and Lewis. And you can see just to the right of the road, the rail trail there. That was constructed by DelDOT last year. And if you all remember, that was something that the council pushed and nudged DelDOT to do as part of the acquisition, and we really appreciate that nudge. That's a beautiful little stretch of trail which will connect to, go ahead, as you see it here, that trail is running along the top of the parcel there. You see the black line coming down from that, which will connect to a parking lot. We also are anticipating, as this park develops, to have a single track trail, bike pedestrian trail, that'll come off the trail through the parcel and then back to the parking lot. You note, and this is a good graphic to show it, that light gray area. One of the things that we've been active across our properties to do is to work with the Department of Forestry, Division of Forestry, State Division, on reforestation. And we have 4.5 acres of reforestation in this project. Those were all planted earlier this year. Go ahead. So the project that we're actually about to start on, you see before you here, it's our parking lot. We should be breaking ground later this month, early next month, getting our going through our final phases of that. That will include a new entrance off of Cool Spring Road, a gravel parking lot, a small pergola. We'll have a sidewalk along the that first section of parking. Along with the trail itself, leading to the bike trail, and then we're putting in our stormwater pond and our landscape berm, and I mentioned the reforestation that you see there. So that's about to start. It should be, we hope it will be done late summer, early fall of this year. Following that, our intent is to move forward with a second phase of the project. That will include the balance of the parking lot, installation of water lines for, it's a bathhouse, it's really just a bathroom facility that we'll have moving forward, parking bumpers, and then additional sidewalk work. And our last phase of the project will then be to pave the entire area, finish our landscaping, put our bathrooms in, and we're exploring with some partners right now the potential for a playground at this site. And I would just reference that all of this work is being done with a variety of partners and funding sources. This is all slated to go. It's just a matter of doing it in phases. Moving now to the west side of the county, to Nanticoke Crossing. You see the Woodland Ferry there jutting out to the right into the Nanticoke. And you see Woodland Ferry Road kind of heading up and cutting through up to the top right corner of that slide. Nanticoke Crossing is a little over 40 acres just to the right. It is on the water to the right of the ferry crossing there. So we have waterfront on the Nanticoke and then 40 acres behind it. We've completed a phase one master plan, and that we have easements on this, which include the Department of the Navy, and we have the Chesapeake Conservancy also holding an easement on this property. The back portion, the piece that's in aqua, that's a fully wooded area with the little yellow that's in there is a field that was is being restored. And then above that was an area that that was formerly a mobile home community. All those were removed by the prior owner. And that's now really a grove of large trees, just a beautiful area. Go ahead to the next slide. So our work now is we're finishing up the master plan. We want to revise what we did and finalize that. Once we complete that, we'll have a full budget for you to tell you what we're doing on that. This summer, we're active at the park. We're cleaning up some of the safety concerns. There was an old dock and pilings in there that were unsafe. We're getting those removed and cleaned up. We're working on our tree canopy, and we're also starting on our meadow restoration. And again, as I mentioned before, we have a very developing and good relationship with the Department of Agriculture in terms of reforestation, and this will also benefit from those funds. This is Atlanta Road, again, western side of Sussex County. Atlanta Road, you see cutting through the parcel there in that the Ickford Park is a little over 56 acres. It's on the right side of the road here, and the red areas are field. You see the parcel to the at the bottom there to the left. That is the Cannon Maston House, dating to 1735. There's been, if you've driven by that over the last several years, you've seen we've cleaned that up quite a bit. And then one of the major things that we did is the house that was in front of Cannon Maston House, which was built in the early, it was 1912 vintage, that was actually moved up to, and you see it up to the next, go up to the right there a little bit. And that affords us a really great opportunity to interpret two periods of agricultural history. We can talk about, the intent for the Ickford House is to talk about the 1930s when electrification came in, and we were anticipating some outbuildings for that that structure. And then obviously the Cannon Maston House, talking about 1700s and that period of history in Delaware, again with some outbuildings that will be included as part of our master plan. The work that we've been doing here recently, the house that was moved, the Litchford House, we're active right now in rebuilding the porch. We've been very fortunate, and I want to thank Russ in particular for his work in tracking down members of the Williams family who were here last, along with the Litchfords, and really talking through what this property looked like. We're getting great photos, great oral histories on that, and that's going to give us a lot to interpret as we move forward. From those pictures, we were able to determine what the house looked like when it was built. We're moving it back in that direction. The front porch, you see, has been is reemerging. There were jalousie windows, and that was all enclosed. That's all been redone. We're now getting HVAC, electric, and plumbing in there. we're hoping to have this finished this year. We'll see how far we can get, but we're getting the basic systems in right now. And this will serve, again, the intent is to have this for two things. We're looking at having a using this for somebody to stay in to watch the property, but also to interpret the 1930s. Go ahead. Cannon Maston House, 1735. We're going to be starting this year on redoing the foundation and redoing the roof on the structure. So after a long, long period of time, it's been 15 years, we're finally getting back to restore this house. So we're excited to really start that work. We're also looking for tax credits. We've made the applications, so we can work on that.
I think was Russ McCabe here when they built that?
He seemed to know everybody.
Just a little after my time.
Hopkins Preserve, this was a project that and a parcel that you all purchased back in October. We were very excited for the opening of that. This was the master plan that was presented at that time. Before you go to the next slide, I want to look at the numbers there. And if you look at number one, again, that's where the rail trail is. It runs along, in this case, the bottom of that graphic. And if you keep in mind 1, 3, and then 5 and 6, and everything to the right of that. Go ahead to the next slide. As that will be the first phase of the project that we'll be doing. These are our construction plans. We've submitted to DLDOT, SED. We're moving forward with all of our regulatory permits with the idea of starting our capital improvements for this in the fall. And the numbers here, just kind of briefly to talk through the work that will be done, the entrance, the stormwater, grading, starting the rail trail, our parking lot, the plantings, and the reforestation. I should say that this is being done in partnership with Sonic Lodge, who is next door to this parcel. As you all remember, Walt Hopkins was very generous to the county in terms of the price for the property, and he also donated land adjacent for the Masonic Lodge. So we're partnering with them with a common entrance and other infrastructure. We're looking to start, as I mentioned, in the fall, and the estimated cost of that is a little over $1 million. Following that, the next two phases here, going into 2025, we'll be completing the trail system that you saw on that map briefly. A lot of restoration here. Again, we're taking a cornfield and meadow that will be turned into meadow management and reforestation. So we're really making a preserve out of this parcel, and that was something that Walt Hopkins felt very strongly about, so we're happy to be working with him on that. And then ultimately, the third phase will come in, putting in trail amenities, completing our plannings. We expect everything to be finished by the summer of 2025. Moving on now to proposed acquisitions. There are two properties which council is very familiar with. We've had discussions and we're moving through the details of this. Wanted to present some of the basics today. One is called the Forest of the Broad Hill Preserve, and again, that's Russ. there's a history to that name that Russ can tell you, and we thought that it sounded good. So and it was very fitting for the property. So that's one preserve, and then there's the Wright property. Forest of the Broadkill is a compilation of three properties. It's just a little under 300 acres. It borders Ingram Branch, and that's a branch that has a lot of rare habitat, natural and cultural resources. It's a combination of mature woods, forest that has been harvested for timber, and then open field. And you'll see some pictures in a second. It is located on both, it adjoins both Shingle Point Road and Gravel Hill Roads. It's just about 4 miles away from Milton. The best way to explain this is to look at the center picture first. That is the Speakman property. It's a little over 31 acres. To the right of that border, that's Route 30, that's Gravel Hill Road, and then Shingle Point Road kind of meanders down to the left. If you look to the slide to the right, at the top, that's the first piece of the owners of the coffins. That's that piece. the bottom piece then connects to that. So all these three pieces meld together as an assemblage of property that will be a preserve of just under 300 acres. And that's significant from, I think, in this county in terms of land mass. A lot of the parcels that I know you all have been involved with, we've been involved with, it's tough to buy land because it's so expensive. But getting 300 acres in this portion of the county, I think, is a real tribute to your leadership in particular. Some good pictures here. These are taken back in February, so they're not the prettiest of pictures, but it does give you a sense of the trail systems. And I failed to mention there are also existing trails within this property that will lend itself very easily to conversion into walking and hiking trails and biking trails. These are pictures of Ingram Branch, just beautiful. High banks dropping down into a stream, mature woods, oak, beech, ash, just lovely. Some other pictures of the trails here. Our acquisition timeline for the properties are noted here. The total purchase of this is $1.85 million with closings for, as noted. The intent here is to settle these in late June. I know you all are working on that timeline. So the vision here, the county, obviously the county is the owner of the property. Similar to Hopkins, the land trust would hold the easement on the property, that's the vision, and have responsibility for development of public access and ongoing maintenance. As part of this in our projects, we set aside money for operations in a five-year for a five-year plan. The vision again is to restore the native ecosystem, the fields, the forest. We are actively working with both state and federal officials on potential grants for this, and are very excited about the opportunities there. The intent is to build a small trailhead parking lot, similar to like the Nature Conservancy has at Ponders. You see some small parking lots like that, but this is very much a park and walk and enjoy nature. The opportunities to hike and bike will be plentiful. So something we're very, you know, excited to be a part of. Moving now to Western Sussex County again, that is the Nanticoke River. This is the Ruth Harbor development. Just above this is Middleford Road. To the right, you see Old Meadow Road. This is just a beautiful bend in the Nanticoke here as it makes its way out. The Wright property is an assemblage, actually, of three wooded parcels. Go ahead. All those are contiguous, just high banks, fully wooded, just a beautiful area. And these are some photos from the opposite bank looking at the property. The purchase price of this is $460,000. Again, the county would own the have fee simple ownership of this property. And in this case, the partner would be the Nanticoke Conservancy. They will hold the conservation easement, and they will be responsible for long-term maintenance. And I believe Steve Cooper and Marlene have already introduced themselves, and we're happy they're here. And again, all of us are happy to partner with the county on this. Okay. So that's our presentation. I think I didn't take 30, but probably over 10, but I do wanted to say one last thing, and I want to thank and really commend this council for all of your support in open space preservation. You guys have been just terrific partners. We've got a lot done, and a lot has happened in a short period of time. A lot of good things are going on. We're really pleased to be a partner with you guys, and thank you for all the work that you've done, and look forward to, you know, continuing to do this. Thank you.
Questions, comments? Mr. Riley.
Well, I want to commend the board of the Land Trust, and you know, working with you has been a pleasure. We have an active board, a lot of talent on the board. People bring different skills and backgrounds, but it's working. And you know, I'm really pleased with the progress that we've made. You know, the old mantra that George Cole used to say, you know, public money, public access, and we're honoring that. And you know, it'll be primarily passive access, but nevertheless, opportunities to preserve open space. And I firmly believe 20 years from now, we'll be very happy that, you know, all of this land was set aside for future generations. And probably important to note, too, that while this is an amazing list of properties and accomplishments, it's not exhaustive as far as all the properties that the county has purchased. We've had properties on Piney Neck, two purchases on Route 24, and west of Millsboro, and so we're actively preserving land throughout the county, but the land trust's role in this is just irreplaceable, and I want to thank all of you for everything you do.
Thank you. Very kind.
Comments from council? On behalf of council, thank you very much for all you do. We appreciate working with you. Obviously, there's more land than we've got money, but we will help in the process all we can. It's good to see people here in the Conservancy, back here, Mr. Cooper, Ms. Mervine, and good to see Mrs. Wright in the chamber. Welcome to the chamber, ma'am. Because we all realize it takes willing landowners to help this work, too. So I thank everybody for all this, and we will continue forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Lawson.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. And we will wrap up with the administrator's report for May 9th, 2023. Item one, the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County will meet May 15th at 10 a.m. at the Sussex County Administrative Offices West Complex, 22215 North DuPont Boulevard in Georgetown. A copy of the agenda is attached. Item two, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Haley's Glen Pump Station received substantial completion April 28th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. President, members of council, we have two items of all business.
Jamie, would you push the button, please? Sorry to interrupt you.
Do you have to hold it?
No.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. We have two items of old business this morning. The first is ordinance number 2207. Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held on February 28th of this year. This is an ordinance to amend the future land use map of the comprehensive plan in relation to tax parcels and its District 135, Map 15, parcels 98 and 98.01. These are for properties located on the south side of Lewis Georgetown Highway, which is Route 9, approximately 0.4 mile east of the intersection of Sand Hill Road, which is Sussex County Route 319. And if County Council can remember back to February 28th of this year, the record was left open to receive comments back from the State's Plus review process, and then to receive those and announce those, and then to hold the record open for 10 business days following the announcement. So I can confirm that we did take this through the Plus review process back in March. And then we did receive the written plus comments back on April 20th. The state has raised no objection to the change in the future land use map, and a copy of that document is included into the paperless packet for this. So.
Any questions, council? Okay, we need to do these one at a time, and all we're going to do is simply close the public record for the thing from plus.
Well, the prior motion, Mr. President, was to defer to receive plus and then to leave the record open for 10 business days from the date of announcement, which would be today's date plus 10 days.
We're good.
So just to defer and allow the public record to additional comments on those plus comments.
Sure. Mr. Lawson, you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So we need to defer now.
Yes, sir.
And leave it open for 10 business days.
That's correct.
For the public to make comment on what we got from plus.
That's correct.
Entertain that motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second, Mr. Schaefer, to leave both of these open for 10 business days for the public to make comment on. Plus, okay. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You'll start the clock today, I assume.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next item, Mr. President, is conditional use 2369 on behalf of Leeward Chase DE LLC. This is a conditional use application for the same parcels of land for multifamily dwelling units, 106 units. And again, following the public hearing that was held on 28th, council left the record open. Actually, no, council closed the record because this is also traveling with the ordinance number 2207. So if council chooses, they could just defer on this conditional use application.
I assume we'd want to do that until we get from the other comments made back. So
that's correct.
All we're going to do is defer this for further action.
That's correct.
Entertain that motion.
So I move to defer.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second. Mr. Schaefer, questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Grant request, Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first request is Coastal Concerts is requesting $2,000 for their 2023-24 season scholarships. The last grant received for this event was in the amount of $1,500. This year's recipient is a Milford student. Ms. Green placed on the agenda.
Mrs. Green.
Okay. Was this a youth grant?
It was previously because it was open to all youth, but this year it's specifically a Milford student.
$2,000.
So I will grant $1,000 from my council budget.
Motion, Mrs. Green, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,000 from Council District 2's Council MAC account to the Coastal Concerts Incorporated for their 23-24 season scholarship. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
And next one is the Friends of Prime Hope. The Friends of Prime Hope National Refuge, they are requesting $7,500 for the Friends of Prime Hope programs. There are no previous grants to this organization. Mr. Shaffer, placed on the agenda.
Shaffer. Ms. Jennings, I apologize for not asking you this more thoroughly yesterday or one of the members of staff. I understand they've also applied for an ARPA grant.
Correct. They
is
have.
Is that for the same program?
No. Mm-hmm. So the ARPA grant is specifically based off of the revenues and expenses from 2019 to 2021. This is for a specific program.
Okay. I'll offer $1,000 from the third district account.
Motion, Mr. Shaffer, second.
And I will offer $1,000 from my council money account.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Shaffer, second. Mrs. Green. To grant $2,000 to the Friends of Prime Hope National Wildlife Refuge for their Friends of Prime Hope NWR educational programs, being $1,000 from District 2 Council MAC grants and $1,000 from District 3 Council MAC grants. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mr. Shaffer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Next.
And next one. The next one is the Town of Dagsborough. They're requesting $5,994 for their Marka Hydrant program. The last grant received for this organization was the amount of $10,000 for their water meter replacement. Mr. Hudson, placed on the agenda.
Hudson.
I would grant $3,000 from my council MAC account.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Sorry.
Mr. Shaffer, grant $3,000 from District 4's council MAC account.
Yes, sir.
To the Town of Dagsborough for the Marka Hydrant program. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Shaffer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I would get motion carried.
Okay, and the last one is the Milton Garden Club. They're requesting $2,000 for their irrigation project. Last grant received for this organization was the amount of $1,000 for their clock project. Ms. Green placed on the agenda.
Ms. Green.
So I will grant them the $2,000 they're requesting out of my council.
Motion, Mrs. Green, second.
Sorry.
Mr. Shaffer, to grant $2,000 from District 2 Council MAC account to the Milton Garden Club for the irrigation that sits with the downtown garden. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Introduction, proposed zoning ordinance, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two. The first one is in Mr. Hudson's district. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for boat and RV storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 7.95 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Hudson introduces it.
And the last one is in Mr. Riley's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use plan in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a professional office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, containing 0.459 acre, more or less.
Mr. Riley introduced it.
And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you. Council member comments. Council member comments. Hearing none, entertain a motion to go to executive session for land acquisition and pending potential litigation.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Sir.
Second, Mr. Shaffer. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Shaffer. Mr. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now in executive session for land acquisition and pending